I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. This summer, the Trump administration announced it would be resuming federal executions for the first time in 17 years. The federal government has since executed 8 people, and it has scheduled several more to take place in the coming weeks. If those are carried out, the planned executions would be the first to occur during a presidential transition in more than a century. For more on this, we're joined by Robert Dunham, the executive director of the Nonpartisan Death Penalty Information Center. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So what explains the latest push for federal executions by the Trump administration?
Well, I think the only way you can explain it is that this is what the Trump administration does. It has no historical precedent in the United States, and there's no corrections reason, no penological reason for doing it. So this is just something that the Trump administration wants to do. It figures that it is more important now to execute prisoners than it is to concentrate on other matters.
What was the state of federal executions before the Trump administration took office?
There had been no executions in 17 years. Part of that was because a lot of the cases had not gone all the way through the appellate system. But mostly, there was a lawsuit that was filed in the early 2000s challenging the method of execution that the federal government was using. And that lawsuit was working its way through the courts and then was finally halted by the federal government when they said, well, we don't have execution drugs, so this doesn't make sense to go forward.
So the method that was being used was lethal injection, I think, as many of us lay folk understand it. Is that right?
That's right.
And what was the issue with that method? And what are the new alternatives to this practice that the Trump administration is proposing?
Well, initially, the drug protocol that the government was using was a 3-drug system. The first drug was supposed to knock out the prisoner and keep him or her unconscious during the execution process. It was followed by a paralytic agent, and then it was followed by potassium chloride, which is a chemical that would stop the heart. There had been a number of botched executions, and some of the supplies of the drugs, some of the first drug, had become unavailable. So the government was searching for different drugs, and drugs that the states were using were resulting in extended and painful executions. So nothing was happening during the first couple of years of the Trump administration, but apparently they were able to find a supply of a different drug, pentobarbital, and decided they were going to conduct executions using that single drug. It raised a whole series of problems because that was not what the protocol was before, and the government circumvented the usual process for adopting regulations. So then in July of last year, the government announced that it was going to carry out a series of 5 executions, and it selected prisoners who were not part of the original lawsuit. A lot of things happened after that, but essentially it resulted in the executions being halted while courts decided some of the preliminary issues. And then again in June, the government decided it would try to conduct more executions.
Let's talk a little bit about who's helping facilitate this, because there have been a couple of attorneys general under the Trump administration, perhaps, and the one that's most recent is Attorney General Bill Barr. What's his role been in all of this?
Well, Bill Barr is an advocate of executions, and nothing had visibly happened before he became Attorney General, although it's certain that things were going on in the background. The government was looking for suppliers for drugs. It couldn't use the major pharmaceutical companies because they do not participate in executions. But we think that was going on in the background. He also has been in the forefront of a number of policies that have politicized the Justice Department. And this appears to be another one of those.
Robert, what stands out to you about the fact that the Trump administration is trying to execute people during this presidential transition, which really has just a couple weeks left to go?
I think what stands out is how historically anomalous this is. No lame duck president had carried out an execution in more than a century. This administration is attempting to carry out 5 executions, 5 more executions, I should say, during the transition period. And in all, after it executed Orlando Hall, the first in a century, in all, it would have 6 executions. That's significant because the most we have ever had in the history of the United States was 5 executions during a transition period during the presidency of Chester A. Arthur. And that goes back to 1884 and 1885. And during that time, the transition period extended until March 4th. Now we're in a period in which it extends only to January 20th. So that is historically out of step with everything that we've seen in American history. It's also out of step with what's going on in the United States right now. This year, obviously, is a year unlike any other because of the pandemic. But this year, there will be fewer executions by the states than any year in the last 37 years. And there will be fewer new death sentences imposed in the United States than in any year since the death penalty came back in the country in 1972.
And Robert, does that indicate, what does that indicate? Does that indicate a change in terms of how federal officials and state officials view the death penalty? Or is that how many Americans support the death penalty? What does that indicate?
All of that. Support for the death penalty in the United States in public opinion polls is at the lowest level in 50 years. More Americans think that life without parole is a more appropriate option, and fewer than half of Americans think the death penalty is fairly administered. We've also had 10 states abolish the death penalty in the last 15 years, and the number of new death sentences imposed has dropped by 90% since the 1990s. So what we're seeing out of the federal government is completely contrary to the direction the rest of the country is going.
I wonder if any of the people who remain on this list have any options in terms of clemency or legal options to halt these executions, given that this is happening in a presidential transition.
There are a number of options, but challenging the execution because it's in transition period is not likely to succeed. But people like Lisa Montgomery, who is scheduled to be the first woman executed in nearly 70 years, she currently has a stay of execution. The government rescheduled her execution into January. Lisa Montgomery's lawyers were unable to prepare her clemency petition because, forced to travel during the pandemic, they contracted serious cases of COVID. And so a court granted a stay of execution. Rather than allowing meaningful time for the clemency petition to take place, this government simply rescheduled her execution for January, and it remains unclear whether she's going to be able to take advantage of the clemency process. Alfred Bourgeois, who is scheduled to be executed on December 11th, is almost certainly intellectually disabled, which would make it unconstitutional to carry out his execution. And he currently has a stay of execution in place, and the government scheduled his execution anyway. So there are things going on in courts. We're not sure how they're going to play out, but we do know that what the government is doing is completely out of step with what prior governments have done.
And of course, I'd be curious to know, you mentioned Lisa Montgomery is the first woman who would be executed in almost 70 years. I'm wondering whether or not there are still racial discrepancies among those who are scheduled to be executed or who have already been executed by the federal government.
What's interesting is that federal death row is overwhelmingly composed of defendants of color. But the first set of executions were all white defendants. And part of that, we believe, was to kind of tamp down on any argument that the executions were racially motivated. What became very interesting about that is that all of the executions early on, and so far all but one to date, only one has involved a black victim. So when it comes down to whose lives matter, it's clear that in these cases, the lives of white victims matter to the government more. And what we're seeing is two of the youngest people, the only two teenagers as offenders to be executed by the federal government, are scheduled among this group. They are both African American, and that follows the history that we have seen with both the federal death penalty and state death penalties, that if you're young and black and a defendant, you are much more likely to be sentenced to death and executed than anybody else.
And Robert, just finally here, there is an incoming administration. Joe Biden's administration will be taking over in the next couple of weeks. Is there anything that the Biden administration can do to prevent any of these federal executions once they've taken office? Biden has said he is against the death penalty and would work to end it.
there's nothing that the Biden administration can do to halt the currently scheduled executions. But once they take office, they can stop all executions after that. They have the power to grant clemency in individual cases or everybody on the row. It's likely that they will conduct a study of the federal death penalty to do a thorough assessment. They want, they say, to seek to repeal the federal death penalty, so they can try to do that through statute. And of course, one of the things that we're likely to see almost immediately is that the government will decide not to seek any more death sentences. So you will see no more cases being prosecuted as capital cases, and they may drop the death penalty in the cases where it's currently charged.
Robert Dunham is the executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.